already in my own area, within 2 weeks of the school year starting a couple months ago or 6 weeks ago, a 12-year-old child had already committed suicide because of bullying. And we're going to explore what might be some of the causes related to this and how they can be addressed. First off, there must be a zero tolerance for bullying. Imagine this. If you're in your living room and a little fire started in the corner, would you just let the fire build and address it finally when it gets serious? Of course not. You address it immediately, and that's how you address bullying. Immediately. It's not something that you let build up. It's not something that your children are hiding from you because they don't know how to approach you. I was having lunch with my pastor recently. We were talking about this very subject. He said, and he's in his 60s, and I used to be a boxer and a tough guy contestant. Anyway, so we're having lunch and we're talking about bullying because I want to teach this program there and they're very enthused about it. He said, I would never tell my parents if I got bullied because I was embarrassed. Now, mind you, he grew up when I did back in the 60s and 70s. That was a completely different time. Children were expected to be mentally tough in those days. And again, the devolvement of our society has certainly affected that quite a bit. And this is part and parcel of everything that I teach regarding self-defense. You do not want popular culture to teach your children how to deal with adversity, how to deal with bullying, how to deal with crime, how to protect themselves, because that's all imaginary. Very little of it's true. In the 70s, late 60s and early 70s, the self-esteem movement started to gain momentum out in California. And the self-esteem movement started to put feelings above facts. And now fast forward 40 years and feelings are everything right now. So this is very important to what we're talking about. You must train your children that there are bad people in this world. I love you. I think you're special. I think the world of you. Not everybody's going to share that feeling. So you will have people that are going to not like you. They're going to be mean to you. They're going to possibly hit you. So let's talk about what's going to happen if and when that does happen. And that goes into the family plan we're going to get into in just a second. But it's important to help children understand that there is a population that are either physiologically impaired because there's something wrong with their brain, so they're psychotic and nothing can be done about it except drugs, or they're the product of nurture or lack of nurture and become sociopaths. So on one hand, we've got psychopaths. There's something wrong with their brain. They will never be your friend. They will never like you. They will never be empathetic to your feeling. They think that not having feelings for you is an advantage because they're not burdened by those feelings. And then you have sociopaths. Sociopaths are just to be raised in a bad environment, usually one with a lot of violence, a lot of intimidation, and they shut off their feelings for other people and their needs. Why do I say this? Because upwards of 3% of the population are sociopaths and psychopaths, not to mention just bad people. That means that if you're going to a school of 1,000 to 2,000 people plus staff, there are 30 to 40 sociopaths and psychopaths in that school. You want a great example? On the blog, I just posted an interview on Dr. Phil with a 12-year-old psychopath.
Another time, mom showed us baby birds. I said, oh, they're so cute. 5 minutes later, had a bunch of baby birds in my hands. So I killed them. Violence makes me feel comfortable.
So one, we have to really set our kids' minds to understand that, you know, biblically, we're compelled and taught to love one another. Golden rule, that's a beautiful thing. Doesn't mean I like them. Doesn't mean I want to be around them. Doesn't mean they're going to like me. As a person, I want the best for every person. But that doesn't mean we're going to be best friends. So you're not going to be friends with everyone. And this is important because there is, going back to the self-esteem thing, there is this contingent of people teaching bully skills that, oh, the child is just lonely. He really wants a friend. Be his friend. That's not your problem. That's not your issue. Sure, if it works out that you're friends, and often it does, that's great, but that's not a strategy. That either happens organically or it doesn't. But it's very confusing to tell a child just be his friend when the kid continues to flick him in the ear, trip him, and call him names. So the family has to get on the same page about bullying. And going back to my the lunch I had, I know this from my own childhood. When I came to my parents and told them about some kids at school, I was very intimidated in school. My father was big, strong, screamer, yeller. Our house went from silence to violence very quickly. I went and told my parents about some kids that they hadn't bullied me yet, but I was just simply afraid. My dad said, pick up a rock and hit him in the head, or pick up a stick and hit him in the head. Mom said, just ignore him. All right, which one is it? Do I hit them in the head with a stick or do I ignore them? So that this confusing message is because the family, my family in this instance, is reacting to the bullying situation rather than being proactive. And I'm going to show you how to be proactive right now. Regardless of all of this, I go back to that golden rule thing. That's really important. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get into role plays. In our seminar, in my book, the role plays that we do are different from verbal judo. We work to make sure that the bully has nothing to grab onto. So if he insults me, rather than me showing I'm upset, rather than me arguing with the guy about it, he says my shirt's ugly. I agree with him. So he says, I have an ugly shirt. Yeah, I know. My mom dresses me. Is that crazy? That's a cool shirt. Where'd you get that? That is a golden rule response that gives that person very little to follow up on. And you can explore that in the book. In the amount of time we have right now, I can just drop these little samples. This is really important. And I give all credit to Chris Sutton, the founder and creator of Cobra Defense Systems, selfdefensebusiness.com. For more information on Cobra Defense. This is his system with my take on it. He's the guy behind the structure of the system. And this is the annual family plan. His is not, I don't think, as comprehensive as mine, but it's his idea. And I just simply took his idea and worked it into my particular feelings and how I would do this. So the family plan is this. Before the school year starts, a couple weeks, annually, you sit down with your family and you have a family meeting. This is so important. As we go through these points, you're going to see how many of these clearly laid out points are never discussed in most families. They're left for the child to figure out about his own family. Let's start at the top. Okay, so family meeting. I'm running the family. I'm the father, and I am explaining to the family what our standards and expectations are for the coming school year. Now, obviously, mom could do this as well. Mom and I could do it, depending on how your preference. Number one, in our family plan, our family believes in Jesus Christ, and we will attend church on Sundays. Make that clear. Two, we are law-abiding and respect authorities and the military. When the authorities or police arrive, they are in charge. Our only response to them is yes, sir, or no, sir. It's with respect, and we do whatever they ask us to do. Our family expects A's and B's as your report card grades. If you feel like you're struggling in a subject, come to us, and we'll help you to maintain that standards. We don't like to see C's, and we do not want to see any D's or F's. So always come to us if you need help, and we'll make sure that you get it. Our family shows respect by saying yes, sir, and no, sir to adults. Is that clear? Yes, sir. Our family values honesty and clarity. We tell the truth. We do not lie. We do not cheat. We do not steal. Our family values our health. So we stay active, we eat healthy, and we do not do illegal drugs or abuse alcohol. Seven, our family values punctuality. You say you're going to be there at 1, try and be there a little bit earlier, but at least be there at 1. That's one that I'm still working on. It's disrespectful to be late. Our family backs each other to the end. Family comes first. That was number 8. Number 9, our family does not quit. You can choose one sport or activity this year, but choose it carefully, because once you join the team or you start the program, you will not be able to quit. You will finish. We are not quitters. 10, this is big. Pay attention. Lean in. We all share one social media account and have one password. That wipes out cyberbullying real fast right there. We have one social media account, say Facebook, and one password. You are not permitted, you are not permitted, you are not permitted to have an individual social media account on my plan. I pay for it. It's my plan. Every account is my account. You do not have an individual account in this family. You got to remember, folks, we all grew up without this social media stuff, without this great technology. We grew up without this. We never got cyberbullied, which is basically being bullied while you sleep. So as a family, we've got to put restraints on this. There's a strong argument that no kid should have any social media account before age 18, when you become an adult. There's a strong argument that kids don't need a smartphone, a regular old push pad, the flip phone type things, which are still available. I just bought one for my mother-in-law. My wife and I did. They're still available, but they don't have the gateway to the online world, which is so dangerous. And I liken it to this. Some of you might remember Katrina, which was a huge hurricane that hit New Orleans, and it was devastating. And 20,000 people took refuge inside the Superdome, the big stadium where the Saints play. And within a short period of time, the bullies, the thugs, the gang members had already cordoned off the bathrooms. In order to go to the bathroom, you had to either pay them or provide them with other favors. So it was really gross and bad in there. So here's the question to you. Would you let your child wander through the Superdome during Katrina? That's what allowing your child to go on social media without supervision is experiencing. That's exactly it. There's all kinds of ways for predators, children predators, child predators to approach. It just makes it so much easier for them and bully and or harass and or possibly attempt to meet and lure your child. So be the adult in the class. You don't want to be your son's best friend. You want to be your son's best dad, father. And that sometimes means doing things they don't like. So next up, that was the social media account. Make sure also that your kids don't have computers in their bedrooms for reasons that are obvious. You want that screen where anybody in the family at any time can see it. They're a click away, and they know they are, from accessing sites that have the most vile images you'll ever see. So be conscious of that and be the adult in the family, not the cool dad. Next is the green light policy. This is number 11. The green light policy says this. You have a green light to come to any of us, adults, to discuss anything, regardless of how. I'm sorry, I've got a new computer. My computer rings too. So going back to the green light. So the green light policy says that you have a green light to come to us to discuss anything without fear of repercussion. If somehow you're involved in something illegal, we're going to have to deal with that. But we don't typically drill down that far. What it says is that you can come to me, you can come to mom about anything. You got a green light. And this opens the doors up. And eliminates what we talked about earlier with Pastor Glenn, that he was afraid to go to his parents about bullying because he was ashamed of it. So it opens the door wide open. And finally, we have a 5-part family policy on bullying. This is how we wrap this up. And this is to the family. It's still in the family meeting. If you are bullied, you have our permission to defend yourself. Our family policy on bullying supersedes all other policies, with the exception of law, statutes in our state, the law. We can't do anything about that. But our family policy on bullying supersedes the school policy, the principal's policy, the teacher's policy, any of those policies. Our policy is that you are not a punching bag, and you can defend yourself if you feel the need, if you feel threatened. And you do role plays throughout the year. You talk about different situations. You watch videos off of YouTube about how kids are getting bullied. And you really get your child acclimated to that situation. So it's not brand new out of the blue the first time it happens. Because if the child is not prepared mentally and or physically, the heart's going to start thumping. The breathing's adrenaline's going to just dump in. And the child will be frozen and terrified of that feeling. I remember the first time it happened to me, second grade, Mildred Helms Elementary School in Largo, Florida. This kid got in my face and yelled at me, kind of like bullying, not that ever came of it, but I felt that complete, I had no idea what the feeling was. I didn't know what adrenal stress release is. I'm second grade. I actually didn't know until I was well into being an adult, closer to 40. That scared me so much because I thought only I had that. I must be what they call a coward. Think about that for a second. If a kid doesn't know that this is how the body responds under stress, he's left to create his own conclusions about that. And for me, it meant that I must be what they call a coward. That's exactly what I thought. Because I saw other kids yell and fight and get in each other's faces. Of course, I didn't know what was going on inside of their body. I just presumed that, it must not happen to them. It only happens to me. So that's a big deal. Talk to your children about all this. Take them through this. Let them screen the videos first, but let them watch videos of bully situations. And what can happen is that often people in my self-defense classes, we do this a lot. The students on the first night when they watch a video of someone getting mugged or a kidnapping or an ATM robbery, they get the adrenal stress going. They've never seen anything before. She's like, oh. By the third or fourth class, they're Monday morning quarterback. They're watching it. There's no more reaction. It's kind of like that roller coaster that you go on the first time and you're terrified. They take your picture and you're terrified. And then by the third or fourth time you go on the ride, though, you see the camera coming and you get the thumbs up because you're over it. And that's important that you help your children to understand that process. So we had the green light. Number two is the circle of security. Have your children at that family meeting make a list of the people that they feel they can come to with a green light conversation. So obviously it's mom, it's dad, it's, you know, grandma, it's Uncle Tim. Then you review the list. Mom, grandma, who is Uncle Tim? Oh, Uncle Tim, he's down by the bus. He lives by the bus stop. Yeah, he gives me candy and lets me sit on his knee while I tell him stories about what happened that day. He's really nice. Can you see why this might be helpful? So the circle of security is two things. One, and very rarely will it reveal something like I just described, but it's kind of funny. The possibilities there. But it gives the child a sense of real security. All right, that's my protection team. I have this protection team. Wow, isn't this great? Next is the chain of custody. You map out from, and we're kind of out of the family meeting now. Now we're just into pre-bullying, preschool year, anti-bully plan strategies. You map out from the time your child leaves the front door to go to school, every step of the way. Okay, he walks a quarter of a mile to the bus stop. He waits at the bus stop. He gets on the bus. He drives. They go to the school. He gets out. He has to hang out into an unsupervised courtyard area for about 10 minutes before they go to classes. In fifth period, he goes to PE. He's got to walk across this field, and there's this period of time before or after the game. And then when school's over, he goes to practice, and there's periods of, because you know and I know that unsupervised kids in a courtyard is ripe for bullying. You know and I know that the time before and after athletic events are time for bullying. So the idea is to mark out those times of the day that the child is in shark-infested water. In shark-infested water. That courtyard, unsupervised, that's shark-infested water. So, sorry, I should have fixed that first. Shark-infested water is what we know to be danger areas. So it is our job then to talk to the children about how they can mitigate or reduce the potential threat in these shark-infested waters. And it's a situation by situation. Look for the adults, kind of go hang near them, keep your distance on the periphery, hang with your friends, stick with your friends, stick to the herd, because bullies are less apt to go into a herd to get you than to pick you off if you're over there alone. So that is a quick overview of the Cobra Defense Anti-Bully Plan. Again, the book is How to Stop a Bully Without Violence or Confrontation. So we've gone through the family plan. We've gone through all the preparation. Let's say that it started with a flick of the ear, a trip, a verbal confrontation, and the bullying process has begun. How do we deal with that? Number one, we teach our children, again, that golden rule technique, feed it back to them. When somebody verbally accost you or gets in your face or is talking to you, if you know their name, say their name back to them. Joe, why are you saying that? Joe, I know my shirt's ugly. I can't help it. My mom buys my shirts. What do you want me to do? We feed their name back to them, and then we give them as little to go on as possible. You want your children to develop, and they won't unless you teach this to them, a Teflon ego, where it just simply slides on. Because anyone who acts like bully boy here does not warrant my concern about what they think about me. I don't care what somebody like that thinks about me. So he or she can say whatever they want. It just doesn't matter. What if it escalates now into physical? This is where we get into some important techniques. Number one, the children are taught to report it to you that day. Number two, they are taught to take photographs of everything they can while it happens. In today's world, often bully attacks are on video. It's crazy, but it's true. You want to make a list of names, witnesses that were there, what was said, any wounds. You got a bruise on your leg because he kicked you, take pictures of that wound. If they're cyberbullying you, take screenshots of everything that happens on the screen. And again, you reduce cyberbullying by having one social account for the entire family. The kids do not need a bunch of them. And also, to that end, real quickly, you want to inspect their phones on a regular basis for apps that will hide other social media apps. It's a whole different discussion, but it's your phone. It's not theirs. It's your plan. It's not theirs. You inspect that just as you were if you're in the military going into this stuff. All right, so they're taking pictures of the wounds. They're coming back to you. They're reporting everything to you every day, and you're making an evidence log. Remember, Cobra's law enforcement base, not military, not karate, law enforcement. So there's a system involved. So So we're building this evidence log. Next, we're going to send certified letters to the principal, to the teacher, and to the school resource officer, and possibly the school board, that outlines the evidence, shows clearly what's happened and what we expect them to do. In the book, you will find those scripts. We even have a script that you can use to call the police and get them to go to the bully's house. Knock on the door. Mrs. Jones, this is Officer Grayton. I understand your son committed a battery today at school. I need to talk to you about that. That will get a parent's attention real fast. Finally, and there's more in the book, we don't have all day on this. There are attorneys that specialize in bullying. You can do a bully attorney in my area, and you'll find attorneys that will take these cases because they can sue the school. They can sue the school board. There's money to be made, and plus it builds their reputation as being someone who champions bullies. So that's the quick overview of the anti-bully plan from Cobra Defense. Go to antibullyplan.com to get your copy of the book. Go to martialartsteachers.com and go to our blog. And the most recent posting is of an interview with a 12-year-old psychopath. It will blow your mind. I also want to direct you. Let me tell you a quick story. And I have no idea if I'm running over or if anybody can even hear me. I am now teaching self-defense and safety to college students. I'm going back to the first thing I talked about, this self-esteem movement and how incredibly sensitive kids are today. And it's your job as a parent to help desensitize them to all this stuff. And here's a great example. I'm in a conversation with a millennial. She identifies herself, makes that clear. I'm in that market, which I don't understand at all. She goes, when I saw your website and it said that one of the things that you do is teach rape prevention, the first thing I thought of was victim shaming. You got to be kidding me. Victim shaming. Rape prevention implies that maybe the victim did something, or you think they did something to deserve it, and that's victim shaming. So another point. I was doing active shooter seminars in Times Square recently. Some of the students objected because of the word shooter. Now, I'm teaching them how to survive an active shooter event, and they're going all pro NRA or anti-NRA like I'm a pro-gun guy just because the word shooter was in there. If you are allowing popular culture and the education system to form your child's values, education is different from values. Our values don't come from the educational system. Our values come from a much higher source. But if you're allowing society to create your child's values, you are raising kids that will be hypersensitive. They will be torn up and hurt because somebody doesn't like them at school, and the dire consequences that could come of that. All right, that's enough of me. How about you? Do you have any questions for me? I'll put on my eyeballs and I will look to see. Is anybody out there? I'm not really sure how to look at comments. Pablo left a comment. I see Pablo, Glenn Gross, James Matthews, Josh. Anybody else out there? Is this even on? I hope it's recorded because I think it's pretty good. Comments, quips, or quote? All right, gang, that's me at the 30-minute mark, like a pro. Bowing out. Again, John Grade, Martial Arts Teachers Association at martialartsteachers.com and selfdefensebusiness.com. If you teach self-defense, it better be Cobra. Thanks.